Chai FM, Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
Good morning, Meira. Shavua Tov, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. Meira, an interesting meeting between Pakistan and Facebook. Tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, it's a very, very concerning meeting. It seems that a very high-level Facebook executive met with the Interior Minister of Pakistan last week to discuss Pakistan's demand that Facebook remove what Pakistan says is blasphemous content on the social media platform.
Okay, so what constitutes blasphemous content?
Oh, so that's a really, really good question. So the definition of blasphemy in Pakistan is something that I'm sure maybe Facebook thinks is a little bit different, but I don't think that they're so naive. So blasphemy means anything that is in Pakistan, anything that's critical to Islam, anything that's critical to Islam's prophet Muhammad, but anything that's vaguely critical to Islam gets counted as blasphemy in Pakistan.
So do you think that Facebook is likely to implement any of these laws or develop laws that are, you know, going to counteract or do what Pakistan wants?
Yeah, I think that Facebook is absolutely going to do this. First of all, we've seen Facebook in very, very duplicitous situations, and I think this is going to be another one, and I'll explain what I mean in a minute. But Facebook says that it's committed to removing explicit, hateful, and provocative posts that incite violence and terrorism. Those are Facebook's words. Now, in Pakistan, that means anything that they call blasphemy. Because in Pakistan, just the mere mention of blasphemy can incite mob violence, extrajudicial lynchings. It's used in a horrific ways to persecute minorities in land disputes. Somebody will accuse somebody else of blasphemy because they want to take their land or they want them out of a job or they have a personal vendetta. It's a very, very serious situation. In fact, just recently in Pakistan, somebody was sentenced to death for blasphemy, which is the punishment on the penal codes in Pakistan. So I think that Facebook is going to bow to this.
Wow.
Well, we've seen, I'm sure your listeners remember, or if not, I'm going to jog their memory of what the Israeli organization Shirat HaDin, the Israeli Law Center, did when they did a test for Facebook. So they had exactly the same content, and they put up posts that were inciting against Jews and Israel, and the same exact content, but inciting against the Palestinians.
I remember that.
Which ones? You remember that.
Yeah.
You're very famous. Which ones did Facebook take down? The ones who were inciting against the Palestinians. And the ones who were inciting against the Jews were left up. So in terms of politics, we kind of know where Facebook lies. And in terms of business, Pakistan is a huge market for Facebook. They have 33 million subscribers there. And I don't think they want to jeopardize that.
Absolutely crazy. Do you think that it would, that there could be a positive spin to this, that it could be something which will positively impact on reducing terrorism?
No, because all of this just means that we are bowing to terrorists. Blasphemy laws are a function of terrorism, and I'll tell you how. Blasphemy laws are implemented by Islamist governments, governments who rule by Sharia law. So the more we bow to them, and we see that this is happening over and over again in the West, we see that, you know, after the Danish newspaper published those Muhammad cartoons, this was many, many years ago, and it sparked violence all around the world. Who in their right mind, and especially after the Charlie Hebdo massacre in France, who in their right mind is going to publish any kind of cartoons like this? Our freedoms, especially our freedom of speech and our freedom of expression, are being dictated to by the terrorists. And the terrorists, the one step back from the terrorists, are the Islamist governments, the governments that rule by Sharia law.
So interesting. Do you think that this could actually... I'm trying to find positives in it, Meira. Do you think that this is something that could actually have a positive impact on fighting Islamophobia?
A positive impact on
reducing Islamophobia.
Right. So Islamophobia is really a political construct. Islamophobia was invented by followers of the Muslim Brotherhood in a specific meeting to try to turn the conversation around, to try to take the terrorists and their enablers, to turn them into victims, and being victims of this racist, bigoted Islamophobia. So Islamophobia is really something, again, that Islamists use to further their cause. It's not really so much of a real issue in the world. Now, I know there are people, of course, and it's mainly, I would imagine, a function of all the terrorist attacks that have been perpetrated by Islamist terrorists. Of course, there are people who are anti-Muslim, and of course, there are people who say terrible things and lump all Muslims together. But Islamophobia, really a political construct.
Absolutely. Do we have any idea who this high-profile Facebook person was, this Facebook representative?
Yes, we do. It's a vice president. His name is Joel. I can't remember his last name, but okay. We know who he is. Yes. So, but I don't think I don't. Yeah.
It's very interesting. So, do you think that Facebook is going to, you know, publish anything, say anything about it?
Well, they've already made this statement that Pakistan was very, very happy about. So now that we know that Pakistan was happy about Facebook's statement, we can understand what Facebook committed to. So I believe that they basically agreed to what Pakistan is saying. And this has been a big push from Pakistan, which convened a meeting of almost all of the Muslim countries to talk about getting what they call blasphemous content off the internet and what we would call freedom of speech. And the Organization of Islamic Countries, the OIC, has been pushing for this for ages. And their last big conference, actually was in America, and it was welcomed by Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State. So this is something that's on their agenda and that they're pushing for, and they will not stop pushing for it until they get what they want.
Incredible. One of our listeners, Meira, has come up with two questions that he'd like me to pose to you. Thanks, Ronnie. He says, Boker Tov Chai FM, can your guest on terror give statistics on, 1, estimated terrorist numbers worldwide? Okay, after that, we're going to ask you to tackle world peace, Meira. And then
right.
Number 2, of that percentage, of which religious groups do those terrorists represent? I think that's a great question. Maybe that's what we could actually do next week, because I imagine that is not something, that information that you've just got on your, you know, the tip of your tongue or at your fingertips.
I don't have the statistics on the tip of my tongue, but I think it's pretty clear. I know in America there's been a lot of talk about how there's more terrorism from right-wing, white supremacist groups than there are from Islamists, although that has totally turned out to be false.
It's turned out to be the left. I mean, that's absolutely mad.
Well, that's true. It's turned out to the violence that we're seeing now, besides the Islamic terror, is coming from the left, which is really, really mad. But in terms of that statistic that everybody keeps, like, you know, touting, completely, completely false. And it's been proven that it's false. Post 9/11, absolutely no truth to that. It was a rumor started that was picked up by the left, and it's not true.
So interesting. All right, so next Monday we've got a date, Meira. We're going to be talking about, estimated terrorist statistics worldwide and what percentage of terrorism falls into what groups, what categories, because Islamic terrorism is not the only one. So thank you very much for joining us today, and look forward to speaking to you next Monday, Meira.
Okay, I'll do my research.
Thank you. Take care. God bless.
Okay. Bye. Okay, bye-bye.